Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Temptation in the Desert.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him only. You shall not go after the strange gods of other nations, lest at any time the wrath of the Lord thy God be kindled against. Shall not tempt the Lord thy God.
Now when Jesus came up from the Jordan, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit led him to seek the solitude of the wilderness, where he remained for 40 days and nights alone, except for the beasts and birds. He fasted and prayed, and no man knew who he was. But there was another who was stirred by doubt and uncertainty, and had to make sure of Jesus' identity. And this one waited until the fast was ended. He stood at the edge of the wilderness and watched Jesus approach, and he was thinking,
I must know who he is, but more I must find out if he knows who he is. If he's the one, he'll give a sign, an unmistakable sign. A simple act will prove everything. And the issue between us will be joined at the very start. But here he comes.
Wait! Jesus of Nazareth? Oh, you don't know me. But I know something about you. I observed you when you were baptized by John at the Jordan. I've waited for you to come from the wilderness. A bit odd. You should spend the same time alone as did Moses on the mountain. After 40 days, you must be hungry. There's nothing to eat. That is, unless you care to try these stones. Look, they're the size and shape of a loaf of bread. Is it not written, that when the Hebrews were tested in the wilderness, their prophet asked for bread and it was rain from heaven? Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread.
It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
I've got to know for sure who he is. If I can only get him to come to some high place where crowds of people can look at him, perhaps he'll reveal himself. Oh, yes. Yes, I have it. I'll take him to the highest point in Jerusalem on a busy day. I'll have a much better chance there.
And then the tempter took Jesus into the holy city and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple. And the tempter turned to Jesus.
If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down. For is it not written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone?
It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Twice the tempter failed in his efforts, but he would come again to Jesus in the desert for the final throw of the dice. In the meantime, the priests, aroused by the stories about John the Baptist, and by the letter from Pilate to Caiaphas, had sent representatives to the Lord at the Jordan to examine him. They came down on him. Carefully they watched and listened, and at last put the question uppermost in the minds of all.
I baptize you in water unto penance, but he that shall come after me shall...
Stop! Stop a moment. I want to ask you a few questions.
What would you ask of me?
Who art thou?
I am not the Christ.
What then? Art thou Elias?
I am not.
You know Moses spoke of a prophet whom the Lord God would raise up from the midst of Moses' brethren. And this prophet would be like unto God. And unto him all would listen. Art thou the prophet?
No.
Who art thou, that we may give an answer to those who sent us?
I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.
Why then dost thou baptize if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?
I baptize with water. But in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose.
Who can he be that is not the Christ?
God speaks of an unknown among us.
Come. Let's report this to the high priest.
Listen to this, Claudia. Caiaphas, the old fox, writes, having sent a delegation to question John the Baptist, we are of the opinion he has committed no offense under our law which would justify bringing him to trial. However, and listen to this, at the same time, we realize that the civil power may take a wider view of the consequences which might follow an extension of his teaching.
I see nothing wrong with that, Pilate.
But don't you see the game? John can easily become embarrassing to the Sanhedrin. And Caiaphas knows it.
Then why doesn't he do something?
Well, that's the point. He wants the odium for his arrest to fall on me. I'm caught. I don't know which is the more dangerous, to leave him alone or to arrest him.
But didn't the letter from your spy say John the Baptist was preaching humility? Why, you chuckled over that. You told me the priests wouldn't take well to that from a ragged fanatic.
Yes. You have a point, Claudia. I think I'll wait. This fellow will prove more embarrassing to the Jews than to me.
Again, your spy reported John did not claim to be the one awaited, only his messenger.
Well, I don't take too much stock in that. It might be a clever dodge to forestall arrest and to build up expectation in the minds of the people. Oh, great Jupiter!
What now?
I've just thought of something. The high priest may have planted that fellow there at the Jordan himself.
But why?
Well, to cause trouble, of course. That's it. They examine him, find nothing illegal, and practically invite me to take action. It's a trap, and one I'll not fall into.
Well, that's all very well, for you and the high priest to outmaneuver each other. But what do you suppose the ordinary people are thinking?
Oh, they don't count here. The priests and their scribes tell them what they can think and what they can believe.
Well, I'm not so sure. Everywhere I go, in the streets, in the shops, people are talking about the man at the Jordan. There's a new light in their eyes, a new note in their voices. They seem to expect a great deal to come from John. Pilate, believe me, a vast change has come upon these people since we first arrived.
Yes, yes, I know. I sense it too. But all I can do is wait. I can't move until I'm sure who John the Baptist is.
How do you expect to find out?
Well, he's promised someone to come after him. Someone more powerful. If I know agitators, they never like to surrender power once they grasp it. If John gives way to another, then I'll believe him. Yes, yes, that's the test. If he's ambitious, you may be sure he's not going to step aside.
And if he's not ambitious and is speaking the truth?
Then neither I nor the priests can do much to stop the coming of the one they expect. But I can take care of him after he arrives, if he arrives.
And now the tempter came again to Jesus. He was planning the means by which he would force a declaration.
I'll throw off the pretense, meet him face to face, and propose an outright bargain. I'll not say if you're the Son of God. I'll act as if I knew for sure he is. Then we'll know where we stand, whether it'll be peace or war between us.
Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the glory of them.
Look upon me, Jesus. You do know who I am. Well now, look out upon the world, not only to the far horizon, but beyond. See the vistas opening, the whole world at our feet, cities bursting with people, ships carrying riches from all parts of the earth, fields of grain and mountains covered with forests. The whole world which is now and is to be. To thee will I give all this power and their glory, for to me they have been delivered, and to whomever I will, I give them. Therefore, if thou wilt worship before me, the whole shall be thine.
Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve.
And Satan was worsted, but perhaps had learned that which he wanted to know. He left Jesus for a while, and the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Meanwhile, the crowds waited at the Jordan, where John was preaching and baptizing. And the time was about 2 months since the baptism of Jesus, when one day John looked up and saw a man walking on the opposite bank.
Behold, the Lamb of God.
Look, that man across the river. It's the carpenter of Nazareth.
Master, why do you speak thus?
Behold him who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me there comes one who has been set above me, because he was before me, and I did not know him. But that he may be known to Israel, for this reason have I come baptizing with water.
I see only the carpenter.
I beheld the Spirit descending as a dove from heaven, and he abode upon him. And I did not know him. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he upon whom thou wilt see the Spirit descending and abiding, he it is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.
I'm sure that was the carpenter from Nazareth. But he didn't even glance in our direction. Now he's around the bend.
And Jesus, the Son of God, walked alone on the other side of the Jordan. John had pointed him out with the words of the prophet, but none had understood. But next day, as John and his followers rested, Jesus came again, walking slowly along the riverbank. And again, John noticed him first and spoke.
Behold, the Lamb of God.
And the memory of the words from the scripture came back to Andrew.
Again, the Master calls the carpenter of Nazareth Lamb of God. Can it be that he is the one spoken of by Isaiah?
And the words from the scriptures came back to him.
Despised and the most abject of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with infirmity. And his look was as it were hidden and despised, whereupon we esteemed him not. He was offered because it was his own will, and he opened not his mouth. He shall be led as a sheep to the slaughter, and shall be dumb as a lamb before his shearer. I shall follow that man.
And the man who spoke was Andrew. With Andrew came one companion, and they followed Jesus until they caught up with him. He heard them coming and turned and waited.
What is it you seek?
Oh, Rabbi,
Where dwellest thou?
Come and see.
Andrew and his companion trusted Jesus. And without a word, they went with him and saw where he lived and stayed with him that day. But of the many who listened to John, only these two followed Jesus at this time. For many clung to the belief that John was not the messenger, but the one he was sent to announce.
Come to Jerusalem. Why don't we stay in the palace Herod built?
We haven't the money to furnish another palace for one reason.
But this Antonia, as you call it, is like a citadel.
It is a citadel. It's another reason for using it. We're not welcome in Jerusalem. This is the heart of Jewry. In that temple across the way is what they call their Holy of Holies.
Oh, the empty room where they have their invisible God?
So we're told.
I'd like to go there sometime.
Claudia? Oh, don't ever try. Why, it's so sacred that only the high priest ever enters, and then only one day of the year, the day the Jews call their Day of Atonement.
But can't we visit the temple at all?
Only the outer court, called the Court of Gentiles.
I'm fascinated by all this mystery.
Well, don't let your fascination get the better of your judgment. Should you go beyond the barrier, it would be my unpleasant duty to have you executed.
Oh, you're not serious, Pilate.
Well, the priest would demand it. And Caesar has agreed that the Jews may have their religion to themselves. We made a bargain with them. They keep out of politics, and we keep out of their religion.
Very well. I'll be careful to observe the customs.
Yes, the trouble is, the Jew can't seem to distinguish religion from politics. Why, do you know when I came here with my troops, we had to take the images of Caesar from our standards?
Why in the world did you have to do that?
Well, these people acknowledge no authority except that of their god. Not even Caesar. And since they make no images to their god, they don't permit images of any authority in their holy city.
Look at their sacred temple. Why do they permit all those animals within the temple?
Oh, those are for the sacrifices. These people are always making sacrifices of one kind or another. They buy the animals at the door and take them in to be killed. Valerius told me that on their great day of celebration, thousands of animals are sacrificed. The place runs red with their blood. That's at the Passover. We'll return to see it. I'm told it's quite a spectacle.
Oh, I don't think I'd care for it.
Well, it's a time for me to make some money. The Jews come here by the thousands carrying their riches. They'll have to pay a visitor's tax, which I collect. I will also put a tax on everything they buy or sell. They'll grumble, but they'll pay. Oh, here comes a soldier with a letter for me. I'll be back in a moment.
Oh, thank you.
A letter from my intelligence agent. Let's see. He writes that the place is seething with expectation. There's much talk that John is the Messiah, and at any moment he will declare himself. Listen to this. John has thrown the crowds into confusion by saying that the Deliverer has already appeared and stood among them. Tension is mounting, but John steadily repeats that he is not the Messiah. I suggest you be ready for any eventuality.
Guard, come here.
What will you do?
Well, I shall ask that more troops be sent to Jerusalem at once. Then I'll arrest John the Baptist.
Meanwhile, at the hut near the Jordan, Andrew and his companion talked with Jesus throughout the night. And in the morning, Andrew left the hut and hurried to his brother Simon, who, like himself, was a fisherman from Galilee. And greatly excited, he burst in on Simon, who was in his hut.
Simon, we have found the Messiah. We have
found the Messias.
And Simon, looking at the light in his brother's face and confident in his words, rose and followed him. Jesus had been tested by Satan. John the Baptist had borne witness to him. And now he was discovered by men who would become his disciples. His public life was about to begin.
Thou shalt hear the Lord thy God and serve him only. You shall not go after the strange gods of other nations, lest at any time the wrath of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.